Log Talk Radio.
Can we lift up our praise? Can we lift up our
I'm going to When I hear them talk to me, I can't bear my soul. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning to everyone. I'm just grateful to be here today. I just thank God for all of us that is here, that is on the line, and everyone that will hear the word. And I just ask God to continue to be with us in Jesus' name and our family in Jesus' name. Amen. The word that I received for today was, to receive requires a give and take transaction. To receive requires a give and take transaction. When I received this topic, it made perfect sense In life, we always want to receive. It's part of our nature. But in order to receive, in order to get something, that means we have to go ahead and take it first. But in order to take it, we have to let go of certain things. We have to give up certain things in order to receive and take. So therefore, there's a transaction that is going on. There's an exchange that is going on. For instance, when it comes to salvation, it's free. Jesus Christ gave his life, and in return, we receive our salvation. But it's free, therefore, for all. But in order to really and truly receive salvation, a transaction has to occur. And what I mean about a transaction being a give and take, meaning we have to give up ourselves. We have to give up our sinful nature. We have to die to sin. We have to give up the things of this world, the things that are pleasurable only to our flesh. Then we have to believe in Jesus Christ. We have to have that faith and accept him as our Lord and Savior in order to receive the salvation that is free. If in life, there are many transactions. In life, everything that we do is a give and take. When we're in a relationship, when we want to receive love, we have to give love in order to receive love, to take love, in order to have it as our own. In life, if we want to have a new job, a new position, to go higher, we have to let go of the old position in order to get to gain the new position that will give us more. There's always a transaction that is going on, but in order to receive the blessings of God, we have to let go the things of the world. In order to truly receive and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, who is our blessing, who is our victory, we have to let go the things that are not of God. We have to let go the things that keeps crippling us and putting us back into the same position that God has pulled us out of. For instance, let's read Romans chapter 6, verses 6 through 14, and I'm reading from the NLT. It says, we know that our sinful self were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power. In our lives, we are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Amen? And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We're free. We're free. We're set free. But in order to get anything that God really and truly has for us, in order to hold on to the glory and the things and the positiveness and all of this that God has, to hold on to him as a whole, we got to let go. Our minds need to be transformed. Our minds need to be renewed. Our minds need to be changed so that we can see the light, so that we can see the things of God, so that we can understand it and grasp the concept of it in order for that which God has for us can truly be ours. Let me go to the scriptures for a second. Verse 9 says, we are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and we will never die again. That no longer has power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. Amen? But now that he lives for the glory of God. For us to receive and join in that faith, the word of God says it, we feel it. In order for us to have that everlasting life, in order for us to sit in heaven and glorify God and praise him and receive the crown that we're all looking to, we have to let go this world. We have to let go the things of this world that God speaks of that we know will pull us away from the works of God, pull us away from the will of God. Whenever we're hurting, whenever we're sad, when we look at it, we're hurting and we're sad because we choose to hold on to people that hurt us. We choose to keep ourselves in an environment that hurts us. We choose to not let go of these things, and we choose to not pick up Jesus Christ's yoke. We choose not to pick up peace. We choose not to receive the peace of the Lord. So therefore, we're always constantly battling against each other. We're always constantly fighting. We're always constantly hurting. We're always constantly hurting each other. In order for us to truly be delivered, to truly receive the gift of God, to truly be able to live in that glory that God has given, that it belongs to Him and Him alone, we have to move forward and let go of the things that holds us in bondage, that holds us oppressed, that holds us in negativity. We have to let go of those people. We have to let go of those situations. We have to give every situation of ours to Christ. Give it. Take it off of our shoulder. Place it at His cross. Place it in His hand. Place it at His feet. Release it unto Him. And then we will receive His joy. We will receive His peace. We will receive that relaxation, that sound mind that we're looking for. So you also should consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not let sin control the way you live. You know, when we're saying the word sin, sin is everything. Sin is whatever stops us from truly living to God, from whatever put us back to our own habits and our own negative way before God found us. That drinking, that smoking, whatever it is that remove us from out of God, it's so much, it's numerous to number. God says, don't let that sin, those sins, control the way you live. Do not give into the sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God. Do not fornicate. Do not masturbate. Do not do any of these things that God says is wrong. Do not shack up. Do not do anything. Live for God. Try your dearest. Only succeed when we take that burden, when we take that worry and those concerns and give it to God and say, Jesus, Lord, I will take You. I will take You instead. I will take what You are given because it's better than where I'm at. It gives me more peace than the peace I never had. It gives me more joy than the sadness that was in my heart, than the sadness that is in my environment. My surrounding, my home is more still. It feels like serenity versus the chaos that I was in. For you were dead, but now you have new life. It says, I jump forward. It says, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do good, to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin no longer is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirement of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Amen? We are free. God has brought us out of bondage. I love the part when it says, so use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Our whole entire body, that means spirit and in truth. That means mind, heart, and everything. That means in the spirit, and that means in the physical. Everything. Don't just be a lip servant that says, God, I trust You. Yes, I love God. I serve God. You know, hallelujah, glory to God. We're in the service and we're screaming out glory. But the moment we go home behind closed doors, the moment we leave the church or reach the parking lot, we're doing, we're saying, we're acting not in accordance to the will of God. Allow and receive this grace that God gives us to get through difficult times. That doesn't mean our difficult times. That doesn't mean our problem and our stress. That doesn't mean our worries are taken away completely. It's there because it's life. Our concerns are reality of the world that we live in. What it means that we are putting our trust, our faith, our hope in Jesus Christ
So knowing that he will provide and he will give all that we need in order to survive and get through the moment that we're going through, to get through the seasons that we might be going through, to get through the fire, to get through the water, to get through the negativity. You know, sometimes it's so tight. Sometimes, you know, let me just share, you know, this week has been, this month alone, September, has been rocking for me. When I say rocking, it's like, I feel like I've already went through the whole month of September with all the incidents that happened with my mom and my sister. And it was Tuesday, I believe, Tuesday night, or maybe Wednesday. It was so, there was so much. My sister can be very toxic, you know, and she doesn't, she's not a believer the way we are believers. And, you know, with my mom being in the hospital and everything that's happening to her, you know, she just can't see that we have to trust God. None of us in life knows the outcome. But in every situation, always have your transaction be between God and us, between you and God. Don't put your transaction of what is happening in your life between men or between this world or between what you see, the facts. Just trust that God is able to change. God is able to do anything. Just thank God for the situation that you know that he is there, that he will never leave us. And, you know, sometimes it takes a lot, because when the enemy comes and the enemy uses so many different obstacles around us, sometimes we could feel like we're being pressed on, you know, our throats, everything, because we're trying to hold on to God. In those incidents, remember what God has done for us. Remember his sacrifice. Remember, he chose to do an exchange with the world, to come and die on a cross for us, to take sin for us, to become sin and take it away from us so that we can have eternal life. And these instances, we have to remember, in order for us to receive what he brought, what he is given to us, we have to let go of the silly things, the things that are that will bring us and take us out of the grace of God. Those things that create hurt, those things that create, you know, bad guys, those things that bring disaster into your life, that will try to dampen us and dampen our spirit, we have to let it go. And we really need to give it to God. Give it to him. And take, receive all that he has and who he is. Amen? Let's continue. Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Verses 23 to 25, it says, whatever you do, work out it with all your heart. Whatever you are doing, work it out with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be paid for their wrong, and there is no favoritism. Anyone, God didn't say unbelievers or believers. He said anyone, meaning believers or unbelievers. If we are children of God, or if we are not children of God, for those who are not, anyone that does wrong, they will suffer what is for them. They will be paid for their wrongs. Do unto others as we will have them do to us. Love others and we will receive love. Treat others unjust and we will receive the same adjustment. God says whatever we are choosing to do, whatever we are working at, whatever we are putting our minds to, whatever we are putting our hands on, whatever we are taking our steps to go forward, that's what whatever is. Whatever we choose to do as children of God, do it with our whole heart. Do it with good motives. Do it because we want to receive the glory of God. We want others to understand who our Lord and Savior is. We want others to be saved. We're doing it because we want to be in heaven. We want to receive his victory. We want to receive his peace. Do it with a pure heart. Do it with love. Don't do it because you're looking for something in return. We're doing it because we know if we do it, hey, we're going to get a blessing. We know if we do it, oh, that one is going to look at me like this. Oh, people are going to start respecting me. People are going to start doing this. Jesus Christ is no respecter of men. God is no respecter of men. There is no favoritism. We have to live that life. We have to do what God is asking us to do. We have to work not because we want kudos and all these things and glory and praise from men. We're doing it because we know it is the right thing to do and our Father is requiring us to do it. So if we want to receive his blessings and his inheritance and all that he's asking to do, he has it here clearly. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward for what? Doing good. As a reward for working hard. As a reward for doing it with a pure heart. Do it with all your heart. Not just for man's praises, because man can't give glory. Not just for man's praises, not just for man's kudos. The things that we do in life, choosing to not do certain things in life, choosing to give up certain things, we do it because we know is what God called us to do. You know, I had many people ask me, Dara, you know, you used to drink before. You know, and I remember my sister when we were living together. It created a big pull away from her and I because when I started going to my old church, Mass Ave, where I met Apostle, you know, my sister could not understand how can you go from, you know, one day, one month, you're here hanging with me, you're having little drinks, and, you know, you're going and hanging out, partying, to like all of a sudden. And I have my friends, they say, Andera, you went from, you know, going to parties with us and hanging out to going to church. And, you know, at some point when you were doing that, they said it. We thought you belonged, like you joined a cult. And they tried their hardest to pull me away. I remember. And I had to tell them, you know, recently a friend and I started talking again, and she's mentioning, I said, it's because I didn't join a cult. I started living for God. I started accepting and I started receiving what he was pouring into me. I started saying, okay, Lord, you are my God, you are my Savior. And I made a decision. I chose to live for God. I made a permanent transaction. I made a permanent exchange. I wanted my life. I want my life. Every single morning I wake up, I ask God to take what does not belong to him, that what is not of him that is in me, take it away. Remove it completely because I want to keep my life. I want, and I'm not just talking about this life here on this earth. Yes, I want to be here for my daughter. I want to be here for my husband. I want to be here for my family. You know, I want to be here for as long as God keeps me here. But I want to have my life, meaning my eternal life, the life where I will suffer no more, the life where I will have no pain no more, the life where I will have no worry no more. The life where I'm not afraid. The life that I could be joyful. Earlier this week, I sat with my mom as she was in the hospital, and I explained to her, she said, I'm scared, and, you know, all. And I explained to her, it's okay. And I explained, that is normal. That is something that has to occur. But you know what? When you trust God, when you give this life, everything in this life, over to God and choose him and accept him as your Lord and Savior, you will have no fear of death. You will have no fear of this life ending because you chose to make a choice to choose him and to receive him. So in order, again, for us to receive God fully in our hearts, in our minds, in our bodies, in our spirits, we have to a transaction, an exchange, a given and a receiving to take what he has to occur. So it is required. We cannot say we are God's children and we're following him if we have not given up ourselves, if we have not let go of the things that we used to do. If we cause abuse unto others, we have to let go of that. If we receive abuse from others, we have to also let go of that because it's not of God. It is not of God. the things that hurt us and bring darkness and sadness, it is not of our Father. He gives joy. He gives life. He gives light. He brings excitement. He brings everything that is positive unto us. Amen? So let's continue into Luke chapter 6, verses 37 to 39. It says, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured out into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." When I received this, I was like, okay, God, you normally when I hear that pressed down, run it over, measured, you know, poured out and, you know, shaken into your lap, you know, I always think of that as, you know, when it comes considered to tithe, because most of the time the churches use these verses as a form of financial giving. You have to financially give. But it's not only a financial giving. It's also giving who we are, giving love, showing peace, giving compassion, being kind, you know, being caring unto others. These things, God says, it will come back to you. Measured, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It will pour out into your lap. These are the things God did not put a specific worded, a specific action to this. Giving, which is a whole. When we give with our whole hearts. When we serve with our whole hearts. It's in every situation. But the part that stands and says, for with the measure you use, it will be measured unto you. So if we're loving, and I just want to harp on love, because I know with all that is happening in this world, people are still hurt. People are sad. People are scared. But if they understand the love of God, if we can show and touch someone just by loving them, just by showing them that God loves them, we can accomplish that. And God is saying, whatever you use, however you give, that's how much you're going to receive. So if we're just doing something for someone just because, you know, they ask, or just because, you know, we really don't want to do it, but you feel compelled to do it, guess what? When we receive, we will receive that same type of measure. It will come back to us in the small portion that we're giving it. So when we're loving people and you say, oh, I'm loving this person, and you're not loving them genuinely from their heart, from your heart, when they love you back, their love will not be genuine. When people show you kindness, you will be able to see right through it because it's paper thin. It's lip thin. It blows away with the wind. When you ask someone for help and they truly don't want to help you, and you yourself don't truly want to help them, but you still do it because you just don't want them to look down on you or you feel bad about it, when it's your turn and you're in help, you're going to see people, they won't show up. Or if they show up, they will have attitudes. Or if they do something for you, you know, it's never genuine. So we don't receive and understand the love from the fake actions that people pour out to us, because our actions were also fake and it was never genuine. So when God is asking us to give and it will be given to you, give wholeheartedly as he's encouraging us to work, as we're working for him. When we do for others, when we pour out ourselves into an assignment or something, not only for a church building, but in everyday life, for strangers, people that we don't know. God speaks about that, you know, giving unto others that we don't know, helping the homeless, helping the motherless, helping whoever, however we are able to help in that aspect. When we are doing it, we have to do it with grace. We have to do it with love. We have to do it with compassion, so that the full love that we're receiving from God, full peace, the full joy, it can be felt. It's not water thin. It's not paper thin. It's real. It has depth and it has weight. And it's genuine. We do it in spirit and in truth. This is never the way we will love God. The way we deal with others, our family, strangers, you know, our co-workers, you know, our other believers. As we deal with all of these individuals, you know, we deal with them because we know this is how God deals with us, and this is the love and the care and the compassion that we want to give unto them. Because we have received, therefore we want to give what he has given unto us. Amen. Amen. You know, when we look in the scriptures, you know, and I couldn't think of just one situation. I was just thinking of many things. But when I look at the scriptures, God shows us examples after examples, given and a taken exchange. He has showed us from the beginning, in order for Adam to receive his wife, God had to take from him in order for him to give him something. And when Adam came to, he received his wife as his wife because it came from God. It was something good. When we think of Rahab, in order for her to have light and her family to receive life, she had to give shelter to the spies. And in return, she received the life. She received safety for herself and her family. She received that peace, that soundness, knowing that nothing can harm them. When we want this type of peace, when we want this type of safety, we have to give up that we feel we're in control of. We have to give up the things that we feel we're the ones making it happen. We have to give it up. When we're sick and unhealthy, yes, we know the doctors are there. But first and foremost, we have to give up that burden and that stress that is also weighing us down. Give it unto God. We have to give what is required of us. We have to give our life. We have to give whatever stress and burden, anxiety, lack of, whatever we feel we don't have, give it away to Jesus Christ. And in return, God will pour out. God will help. God will heal. He will give us his peace. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." These verses hold so much power. I get excited when I'm able to see, you know, these verses in red, because we know those are words that Jesus Christ himself, he said, "Come to me. Come to me." Imagine yourself going up to God's throne. Imagine yourself walking up and you're in the presence of God and you're about to do an exchange. You're about to embark on a transaction, a spiritually, a life transaction, something that you will never take back. God says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." As we're imagining ourselves in this world, everything that we're dealing with, family, emotions, job, school, financial, health, you know, whatever, it's numerous, whatever we're dealing with, substance abuse, sexual abuse, you know, whatever it is, depression, whatever it is that is going on, and sometimes we don't even know people are going through it. God said, "Come to me." Visualize ourselves walking up to his throne with all these shackles on you, with all these chains, all these heaviness, and your hands stretched out and you're saying, Lord Jesus, here I am. Take me. Take my life. I want your rest. God is trying to pour out his rest upon us. He's trying to allow us to come to him. So much is going on in the world, and people still choose to turn away from God. They still choose to turn their ears and their eyes and pretend like they don't know who God is, to pretend like they don't know who his power, what his power, what he's capable of doing, that they don't know of him. Jesus says, I will give you rest, not men. The doctors don't give you peace. God is the one that gives us peace. Having a lot of money don't give us peace and joy. It gives us the ability to go and spend and create more bills, because the more we become successful, the more money we start getting, the more bills we have. It's like, wait, I never had this before when I was living over there. But you know what? Because you have an additional expense. You have things that are now what you never had before. But you still don't have no peace, because most people, not saying us, but most people, when they receive, they don't become content. When they start making more money, they don't become content. They start wanting more. They become greedy. They want more and more. So therefore, they start turning from God to go seek what they want more of. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. That is the key. God gave us the Bible so that we can see, so that we could go in the Bible and take the words that are in there, which is alive, and learn and study and implement. It is not just to learn it, to be able to speak the verses and study it, to be able, just so people can be like, oh my God, that woman of God, that man of God, oh my God, they know the word, they know the Bible, they could quote scriptures. No, it's about, it's also to implement these words into our life. Implement them so they can have impact in the way we live, impact in the way we carry ourselves. We have to receive God fully and wholly. We have to receive God wholesome, in spirit and in truth. In spirit, in the spiritual realm aspect, and in the truth, in the natural realm, what it is. This is my truth. This is my life. I live in Mansfield. That's my reality. That's my truth. But in spirit and in truth, I am here because God has graced me with this place. God has opened doors, and I give him glory each day, each minute, each second for it. And he said, so you will find rest, because what God gives us is gentle. Learn from him. He's gentle and humble. Gentle and humble. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32. Let me get my scripture. Romans, verses 18, and I'm reading from the NLT. His yoke, his burden is light. It's light. When we have God, and we have Jesus in our hearts, in our homes, in our life, in our circumstances, good or bad. When we have God, nothing else matters. We keep a smile on our face. Whenever our mind starts racing and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe that. He touches us and he reminds us of who he is. He holds us and he allows us to stay calm. He allows us to breathe, and he allows us to let go. Because, see, once we give ourselves, every attack that comes onto us, everything that comes onto us is now his. He's the owner of us. So he's the one that's able to take it off, and he keeps pouring into us what it is that we need. He keeps giving us, and as he pours, we receive. As he pours, we take. As we pour, we give him glory for it. As he pours, we say hallelujah. As he pours, we say glory to God, no matter the circumstance and the pressure that is around. Romans chapter 18 says, But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious. Many people, as I said, they're still not crying out to God. They're still not truly coming to God. We can't come to God mediocre. We can't come to God kinda, sorta. No. When people ask, do you believe in God? It's either yes, I believe in God, or it's a no, I believe in God. He speaks about being lukewarm in the middle. When we say we're serving God, we are serving him 100%. We're not serving him just maybe 89, 90% of the time I'm in church. 90% of the time, you know, I'm always there, you know, but I still need my little percent to go and do what I need to do. No. When we choose and make that choice to serve, to love, to honor God, to keep him first in our lives, in our homes, in our marriage, in every circumstances that occur, whatever problem comes, we will seek him first. We will go to him. We will turn to him. We will not turn to man. We will not turn to the world. We will not turn to drugs. We will not turn to the enemy. We will not turn to anything, voodoo, wickedness, evil things. God says his anger will burn against them. All sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, from the beginning of time, people have seen the earth and they have seen the sky. People have seen the trees. They have seen the ocean. They have seen everything, the birds, all these things. They have seen us as humans that cannot be created. The Big Bang didn't create. Evolution of science and different toxins and gases and stuff like that did not create this earth. God did, but people still choose to be blind. They choose to stay dead. They choose to waddle in their sinful ways. There's so much that is coming, and we have to be vigilant. We have to stay on the path. We have to constantly keep seeking God. There's so much that is close that anything, any day, this pandemic as a whole has opened to our eyes to debt that has no respect for her life. None. It doesn't matter how healthy you were. It doesn't matter if you weren't sickly with any type of previous condition. It just swooped in and it takes. But when we trust God, we follow instructions that he gives. We listen to him. We do what is being asked of us. It says, for ever since the world was created, people have seen earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Those who choose to live in the dark, who choose not to give themselves, who choose not to receive the Lord as their Savior, who choose not to believe and have faith in God, who choose not to turn away completely from this world, from doing the things that are negative. We have to live in the world. Yes, we live in the world, but we're not off the world. The Bible, the Word tells us that. We're not conforming to the things of this world. We're living. My life is joyous. I'm sure Apostle is, Deacons is, everyone on this line. Your life is joyous. When we are living for God, there's so much joy that we can't explain it. There's so much peace and happiness that, you know what, how can I not be joyful? How can I not be happy? Because I have God. I have God, so why would I not be? Each day he provides, so why would I not be? I'm content. I'm happy with what he gives. Because everything that God gives us, people, is what we need. When we become constricted and we become tied up and we become, like, worryful, it's because we're trying to receive things that we want. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to go here. I want to go there. Oh, I need this. You know, I'm in want of these things. I need more. But when we learn to be content and settle and just say, God, I need you to lead me as to what I am supposed to do for you, and I need you to open doors. God will send us helpers. He will send what we need. He will open the doors. It will flow out. It will present itself right there sometimes in our lives, and we say, thank you, Jesus. Sometimes it's just a prayer between us and God. We're not asking everyone here, dear. We're not running around. God just says, here, I have a blessing for you. I have a gift for you. You're looking for your health situation, my mom's situation, you know, her sugar kept falling and she's going into shock and, you know, they're racing her to the emergency room. And I kept saying, her sugar level is regulated. God is doing what God can do. All we have to do is take her off the insulin. She doesn't need the insulin no more. My sister is, like, out of control. And I'm like, God, I need you to make it known. On Sunday, she went back into the hospital. They kept her, again, kept her overnight. And, you know, when they released her earlier this week, they said we have to remove her off the insulin because her body is producing insulin. So, therefore, when she's taking this insulin that we're giving her, it is dropping her sugar. Her sugar is at a steady point. Yes, she's still a diabetic, but you know what? Her sugar is in, they're controlled. So let's take her off completely and revisit what she will actually need. But the insulin, her body doesn't need it. And I say, God, I give you glory. Whatever it is that we're in need of, no matter if it's a health situation, financial, emotional, you know, physical, whatever it is, God is the one, the only one that is able to provide what is necessary for us to live, for us to be joyful, for us to be at peace. Let me continue. So they have no excuse for not knowing him. It says, yes, they know God, but they won't worship him as God or even give thanks. How could we not thank God? But evil people don't have no thanks for God. People who see themselves as the king of their life, people who see themselves as the one that created, the one that's doing it all, they don't thank God. They pat themselves on their shoulder and give themselves kudos. They look for every man, woman, and child out there, the world, the internet, believe it or not, especially that internet, that Facebook, that Instagram. Instead of using it for positivity, they're using it for something negative. On Instagram, I just saw this clipping. It's like a TikTok, I guess. Yeah, TikTok. I don't even use it. But this little girl, she's 8 years old, and her mom took her out for a birthday celebration, and they went to some restaurant, and the ice cream is sparkling everywhere, and she's 8. She got up, and she started dancing a song with inappropriate words and doing all these, like, vulgar moves, and I'm like, whoa. I thought of my child when she was 8. My child is 13 now, and she still doesn't do that. But as parents, if we want our children to receive a good life, receive important things that God is trying to pour into them, we have to be able to say no, to block, to take out, to ask God to cover them. It says here, they began to think of foolish ideas of what God is like. As a result, their mind became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead become utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worship idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their heart desired. As a result, they did vile, degrading things with each other's body. They trade the truth about God for a lie. They trade, they exchange what they know is real, what they're able to see God has done, that power, for a lie, fabricated thoughts. Lies are fabricated thoughts, thoughts that has no power. Words that will go nowhere but bring more disaster and problem and stress into our lives. So they worship and serve the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen? That is why God abandoned them, they shameful desires. Even the woman turned against their natural way to have sex and instead indulge with sex with each other. And the men, instead of having moral sexual relationship with women, burdened with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men as a result of this sin. They suffered within themselves the penalty they deserve. Verse 28 says, since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malice, malicious behavior, gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die. Yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them. I made sure I went down to 32, especially when all these that are being named off, hate, envy, murder, quarrel, deception, because these are things that are very evident in our day-to-day life. It's evident in our work, in our world, in our workplace, sometimes evident in our own family. And I mention them because God says he gave them over to these things. These things are sin. And as we are children of God, we have to be extremely careful that when we see these things a part of our lives in our environment, that we do not pick up and we do not encourage. We don't encourage others to do these things or to act these ways. We encourage them to do better. We choose ourselves to rise above it, even though it could be right beside us. It could be walking next to us. Guess what? We are walking for God, so we're covered and we're shielded, and we're making that decision to stay within him, to receive that peace so that we don't fall prey to the things of the world. We don't give in to these sins that God says will take us out, that God says will remove us from his glory, that will not allow us to enter his kingdom, that will not allow us to be named as one of his children. These very things that our eyes can see, we hear it each day, we witness them. But God doesn't want us to become a part of it. Don't let it become us. Don't let it enter into our home. Every home has arguments. But when we see that argument escalating and building, we have to say, God, I need you to defuse it. God, I need you to bring it down. God, I need you to rip it away. Wherever it came from, God, and I pray it, wherever it came from, Lord Jesus, I ask you to chase it. I ask you to dispense with it, step in direction. Let it run because it does not belong here. Let it run. God said it again. What he gives is gentle and humble. We ought to learn from him. None of these words, none of these things ever came from Jesus Christ. As much as we read the Bible, he left examples after example, experience for us to understand who he is so that we can live, so that we can give, so that we can receive, so that we can choose. I want to read Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and this will be my last reading. Let me get up here. Give me 1 second. Galatians 5, 16.
Galatians chapter 5 to 26, and I'm reading from the NLT as well. It says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature want to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. These two are constantly battling, constantly fighting within us, among us, so that we are not free to carry out our good intentions. The enemy always wants us to fall short. We might have our mind set to do something good, and here comes the enemy trying to derail us. God says to allow the Holy Spirit to completely consume and fill us, to completely take over, so that when we are in this battle, we are aware and we're able to make the right choices. We're able to say no to the sinful things. We're able to say no to negativity. We're able to disregard and denounce the enemy. We're able to withdraw and say, no, we're not doing it. And we're able to bypass him completely and choose God still. Choose to do our good intentions. Choose to do what our heart desire is, which is to serve God. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. In addition to what I already named in Romans chapter 18 to 32, I think from like verse 28 on, it says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, adultery, sorcery, wickedness, outbursts of anger, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. So God is saying other things like these. It's not just these things. There's so much more. Like he said, according to the word, that those that were evil that he left them to do in Romans, they create new ways to sin. Sin shifts. It's not steady. It's not stable. So it shifts. You do this, you do that, you do a little wickedness, you do that, God says, and these things. So once we get the gist of what it is sin is like, we can understand when it's coming. If we're doing anything that is not pleasing to God, the Holy Spirit that is leading us will convict us, and it will tell us. If we want to stay on that path where we are constantly receiving Jesus, we're constantly receiving the goodness of God, we're receiving everything, then we have to constantly, every single day, every minute, give up our sinful thoughts, our wicked thoughts, those thoughts that are nasty, those thoughts that don't belong in the kingdom of God. We know what they are. I always measure myself in this manner. If I cannot share my thoughts with others because I will be ashamed of what I'm thinking and I know it's wrong, then you know what? It is not of God. Everything that concerns God is pleasing, is loving, is kind. It's pure. We will not be ashamed to speak it because it brings harm. It doesn't bring embarrassment. It's not wicked.
Let me continue. It says here, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Every single day we have to work out our salvation, work at it in order to keep it. God, Jesus Christ, gave it to us, and we received it in order to hold on to that salvation every day, every minute, every second. The enemy never sleeps or stops, but God doesn't either. We have to trust in him, and we have to call upon him. We have to constantly say, God, we're exchanging this thought that just dropped in my head for yours. Huh? We're exchanging this action that just popped up in my spirit for yours. That doesn't mean every day we're going to get it right. But you know what? We're trying. We're striving. We're pushing. We're humans. But God knows that we are dependent on him. God knows. That's why he's there. That's why he gave us his spirit to live inside of us, to help us. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I just want to state that again. These are the things that the Holy Spirit produced. These are the things that God gives. It's pure. And I say it again. Let me just say it, call it. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. After self-control, there's a period. It's not the word that says, and other things like these. Because when God gives us, he gives everything that is complete. If we choose to live and we're living and following God, implementing his word into our life, all of these things that belong to God will be evident in our life. All of these things, these words, these actions words, these loving words that God spoke of right here in verse 22 and 23 is all we need to continue to live that life for God. When we choose to love others, when we choose to be faithful to God, when we choose to be gentle instead of hostile, when we choose to be good instead of evil, when we choose to receive joy, which only God can give, when we receive God's peace, full peace, when we choose to be patient instead of, you know, hurry, instead of always angry, instead of always moving fast, when we choose to be self-controlled, these things, God's Spirit can flow easily in our lives, through our lives, in our bodies, in our atmosphere and our surroundings. Others will want to adapt that which they see God is doing in our life. They will want to know God for themselves and say, yes, I want to receive him. How do I receive what you have? How do I get that peace, my God? How are you doing it? Because I gave everything. I gave myself and all of who I am, my burdens, even to the burdens and stress and worries that I don't even know exist already. I gave it to God. Because I know every morning, every day we wake up, it's something new that we have to deal with. His grace is new and it's sufficient, yes, but guess what? It's new every day because every day there's something new coming at us. Every day there's something that we could not perceive. There's something that we didn't know exists that is there. So God gives us that grace. He gives us every day so that we can be able to stand. And all we have to do is constantly come to him and give that trouble of that day to him. And in return, he gives us his peace. In return, he gives us more of what we need to get through. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there, left them completely dead. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in each part of our life. Let us follow the Spirit's leading in each part. Not just follow the Spirit's leading when we're at church on Sunday or we're in Bible study because we want, like a popular say, accolades. We want kudos from men. We want people to see us as like, oh my God, you know, she knows the scriptures. You know, I'm here and I don't know the scriptures the way a lot of people could read the scriptures and memorize them. But I know God. I know his love. And I know what he's asking us to do. I know what he's asking me to do. And when I'm not sure, we have to go to him. When we're not sure, we are not getting it clearly. God, I need you to speak it again, and I need you to make it very clear so I can understand. When we are being led in every part of our lives, we will truly be able to stand. We will truly be able to receive and constantly keep receiving and receiving the gifts, the blessing, the love, the healing, the nurturing that God has. Everything that is of God becomes ours because we're choosing to stay within him as he is within us. We're choosing to give him our problems and our worries and take the love that he has for us to receive him as a whole. Verse 26 says, let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Jealousy leads to so much bitterness. It can lead to hatred. It can lead to bringing us down. It leads to darkness. God says, let us not be this way. Basically, let's be joyous. Let's be kind. Let's be loving. Let's celebrate others. Let's forgive others. Let's give grace, this grace that God pours into our life each day that is new every morning. As we see people coming to us with those negative vibes, let's give them the grace. And at point of times when we're not able to because it's so much, at that moment, cry out, God, I am giving it to you. God, I am giving you this problem. God, I am giving you this individual. God, I'm giving you this burden, this stress. I am giving it to you, Father God, because you're my Father, because you love me, because you care for me, because what you have, I want, I need, and I want to receive it. So, dear Lord, here I am at your throne. Here I am before you. I am ready to do a transaction. I'm ready to give you my life for your life. I am ready, dear Lord, to exchange the things of this world, the sins that is upon me, for your glory, for your peace, for your love. We have to constantly thank God. So, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you today, dear Lord, this beautiful day that you have given us, the opportunity to be here in this land of the living, Father God, with the activities of our lives, Father God. We are thanking you, our Father, our Heavenly Father, our King, because we know we are not where we are because of our own doing, Father God. We are only here, Lord Jesus, because you have graced us to be here, because you, Lord, foremost have died for us, because you did, Lord Jesus, the ultimate exchange. You gave your life so that we can live, Lord. You gave our life so we can have eternal life, so that we can be saved, Father God, from the sins of the world. So, Father God, we are thanking you. We are thanking you because, dear Lord, the price that you paid, we are not able to give and pay. The price and the things that you have done for us, we cannot repay you for what you have done. Father God, we are thanking you for healing. We're thanking you for making way out of no way. Father God, we're thanking you for love. Father God, we're thanking you for good health. Father God, we're thanking you for the joy that you place in our life. Father God, we're thanking you even because when we can't see what is to come, you already know it. Father God, as we are going forth, dear Lord, in this day, our families, our loved ones, we're asking you to cover them and protect them. Father God, we're thanking you because, dear Lord, you have never forsaken us. Merciful Father,
You are our life. And we give you the glory. And we thank you for allowing us to be able to breathe, to wake up, to have the opportunity of each day. Father God, we give you glory, we give you honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, we pray, and I pray. Amen. Apostle?
Praise the Lord. Just on there, just step to the bathroom for a second. But I thank God for the word. What an awesome, anointed word, my Lord. Jesus, I just bless the Lord for you today, woman of God. Father, we just thank God, praise God. We glorify you, Holy Spirit, for being in this service today. A lot of people didn't come today. They missed an awesome, anointed word. Thank God for Sister Anna and Brother Deacon Fraser. We just thank God for you all that came on and hear this word and this woman of God pouring out of her spirit into the atmosphere and into our hearts, minds, body, and soul. What a word, what a word. Lord, just bless Minister Onde, your daughter that spent time searching out the scriptures for the right scriptures, the one that you would have her to speak into our hearts. Lord, we ask you to anoint her afresh, O God. Lord, we ask for traveling mercy as she travels the highways and going to and fro, or wherever she's going, shopping or grocery store shopping or clothes shopping, however she's going to the beach with her daughter. Vacation, Lord, we ask for traveling mercy. And Lord, we ask you to continue to heal her mother, her sister and brothers, and all her nieces and nephews. But Lord, we ask you to open the heart, mind, body, and soul of her mother, that her mother would get a clear understanding of who you are, Lord Jesus. But without understanding, we are failing. We are failing, oh God. We are losing the true identity, oh God, of who you are, Lord, in us, in our lives. Lord, we ask to bless the word as it's gone forth already. Bless, Lord, we know that it's touching hearts even right now. Glory to God. What a mighty word. I like what you talked about. You were talking about rehab. And you talked about rehab, and you talked about Jesus. That's the part that really touched me, you know, because, you know, there's no better, more giving than when you look at rehab protecting the spies, and because she protect the spies, God honor her. God honor her time of giving, the space she gave to the spies, and God rewarded her. And look at Jesus on the cross. Jesus gave his life, and he was rewarded with sons and daughters. He got us, glory to God, that he received us as sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, by giving. Amen. And you talked about how you give. That was so important. A lot of people give because it is something that they got to do. If they don't do it, what, but they're not giving truly from their heart, you know, and giving should come out of the heart. It should be a life thing. It's something that you want to do because God said give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together and running over shall men give into your bosom, out of the King James Version. But, you know, I like also in that, when you shared that, you said that people, most leaders in the house, you didn't use the word leaders, but that's what we know it is. Most pastors and the prophets and the bishops and apostles, they use that scripture pertaining to money, but it's more than just money. It's more than just money. Then you talked about Jesus. I take the one from Matthew 11, where he said, come on to me, all you that heaven lid, where you got to give yourself. Once you give yourself to Christ, Christ in turn give himself to you. Hallelujah. It's a transaction you talked about. You have to, something have to transfer in order for receiving to take place. Hallelujah. Yes. I cannot receive if I don't open my hand. A young lady was telling me yesterday from New Orleans, and she says, I knew her for some years now through Prophetess Misha, and just ordained her while I was in New Orleans as an evangelist. But she has made in her mind, before we even ordained her, She saw on Facebook that I have a request last year to help the people in Indian Africa. And all of a sudden, the lady sent some money. And then she, while we are talking on the internet, you know, we are talking to people, she says, well, she didn't think it was enough. The Holy Spirit touched her. She had to give some kind of money, you know, but either way, then she come back and send her extra money. She said, well, then, and then another evangelist here in Boston did the same thing. Well, it wasn't nothing that I was doing. It was God speaking to them, and they were giving from their heart. And in turn, both of them got blessed because their heart was open to receive from God, and God blessed them. I can't tell you exactly if it was a financial blessing or a spiritual blessing, but I know they told me they got blessed from the Lord, you know, because God is looking at our hearts. A lot of times we are doing things, you said in the message, we are doing things to get accolades, and I'm doing a message here right now on self-centeredness. What happened is a lot of people are doing stuff so they can get a pat, but they don't realize that when God wakes us up in the morning by His Spirit, you already got your accolade, you already got your pat. Because so many people didn't wake up this morning, Minister, on there. So many people that were here last night. And some people got up this morning, and as soon as they got up, they leave this world. They're gone. Somebody said, well, we'll come back and see you at 12 o'clock. And it was 10 o'clock, and I was talking to some people. 10:05, they left this world. You understand what I'm saying? So we got to say, Lord, I thank you for the time I have. I thank you for the ear that I'm breathing. Because somebody's not breathing this morning. But we want to say, well, I preach a word, I want accolades. When if you hear something in the word and you relate to what God is speaking to that preacher, I truly appreciate that. I have done what God called me to do because somebody has got the word. Somebody has got an understanding of what God is saying. But for me, it's not no accolades for me. Praise God. Give God the glory. To God be the glory, and that was one of the things that touched my heart in the message too. You know, because a lot of folks, you know that, you watch them when they get them from off that altar. You watch them, they walk with their chest pushed high because they feel they did something fantastic. But it's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. It's not me. It's not you. Give God the glory. You know, He said, I will not share my glory with no man. Even though God gave us glory, but He said, I will not. What is He talking about? He said, I will not let no one have the reverence that is due to my name. The reverence that is due to His name. When we preach that, we are preaching because He has given us glory to preach the gospel. But then must get the reverence for what He has done through us. You understand? He said in John 17:22, He said, Father, the glory I have with you, I give to them that they will become one. As we are one. Why? Because without the glory, we can't really preach the gospel. We can't really preach the gospel. But after we preach the gospel with the glory, now we got to give Him glory. We got to allow Him to have the reverence, which is the glory for God, that only belongs to God for what He has done through us. Hallelujah. So we give Him something. We show up to preach. We study the word of God. We give our time to search the word of God. And then in turn, God give us the glory to preach the word of God, to release the word of God. See that? Oh, it's a give and take. It's a transaction all through the message. That's what I'm here. It's a transaction. You got to do something in order for something to happen for you. You know? Amen. You know, you have to make a move. It's a give and take. You want a job. If you don't take that phone or go on that computer and put in a resume, put an application up, you ain't getting no job. You can sit home all day long thinking, oh, I want to get a job. I want to get a better job. But if you don't do something, it's a transaction. You got to make a transaction to get that new job. You want to keep your husband, you want to keep your wife, it's a transaction. You got to do something. You can't wait till his birthday comes to send him flowers. You can't wait till his birthday comes to send him a car. You can't wait till her birthday comes to buy her some roses. You got to send her some roses in between time. So, see, what do you got me this for? I said, baby, I'm just thinking about you. Yeah, I bought my wife this expensive perfume sometime last year. It's the boss. I mean, this thing is, I can't even believe it. I just smelled it. And I said, oh, my God, I want this for my wife. So I got this stuff for her. And I said, how little girl she's going up with her mama and her sister. I said, girl, you know, you're going to pick up a birthday. You smell some kind of awesome. I'm messing with her. Okay. She said, baby, don't you remember you got this perfume? You know, you remember you got this perfume? I said, my God, that thing smells like, I don't want you to go to the house. You smell too good. Girl, you better come back in this bedroom. I'm messing with her. Come back. She smells so good. You see, so it wasn't her birthday. It wasn't our anniversary. It wasn't that we got a raise or nothing like that. I just felt like this thing was so nice. I wanted my wife to have that. It didn't win the birthday. Like I said, it wasn't no special occasion. And that's the problem. See, if somebody know you're going their expectation is on their birthday that you're going to give them something. But their expectation that in the 6 months in between or 3 months before their birthday, they're not looking for, they're looking for the everyday thing, the meal, the supper, the coffee, the tea. But you do something special in between that time, it messes them up. My God, my husband loves me. My wife loves me. You see what I'm saying? And you create a transaction like you're talking about. And everything that you want, you can receive from your husband or from your wife that particular time.
Okay.
Because the transaction that you have just done has opened the door for love to flow, for unity to commence. You understand?
Yeah.
That's how it works. That's how your marriage lasts a long time. You can't wait for it. I know she's going to give me something for my anniversary. I know he's going to do something for my anniversary. You know? What about the end of 11 months? Okay. What about the other 11 months? Just sitting around watching TV, watching the news and all that kind of foolishness. No, you got to do something in between them times that they're not expecting, baby. I was just thinking, why don't we get dressed and go to the movie? Let's go have some dinner and then go see a movie. Let's just go down by the water and sit. Sometimes it don't have to be the movie. Let's go down by the water. Just sit by the water. Put your foot in the water and talk. Oh, my God, such simple things. Means a whole lot. This transaction. Because we're developing the relationship. The relationship gets stronger when we do simple things. They don't have to be big things, little things. You don't get a mountain without a molehill. You've got to stay up with a little small molehill and it grows up. The more mole you get, then you get a mountain. That's how love grows. So I thank you so much, Minister Andre, for just putting this thing on the table. So plain and so simplistic, you know, that a fool could understand. You know, a fool could understand. I tell you that message, that's a powerful message. I got a sermon on that in one of my folders rehab. That's such a powerful. However, you can put that in almost every message. You can put that in because it has something in every message. Every message. Rehab never thought that her family would be saved. You know, she requested. She requested it, but she never thought it was going to be saved. But because she had, oh, my God, that's a piece right there. Because she had made the transaction, Minister Andre. God, I like that word.
Yes.
Because she had made the transaction, her family was saved. They were protected.
Amen.
You understand?
Thank you.
Jesus had to make a transaction from the Garden of Gethsemane to the cross of Calvary, Golgotha, the skull. He made a transaction right there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, if there's anywhere you can take this cup from me. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross as man, God in the flesh. He's a man. He left his divinity behind in heaven. He had no heavenly powers. You understand? He was gone in the flesh, but he left his divinity behind so he could feel our earthly powers, all that we were going through, yet still he didn't sin. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he's feeling all that you felt, all that I felt, all that we felt in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, if there's any way you can take this thing, I don't want to go on that cross and be kneeling on that cross and crown and pierce in my side. I don't want to go through all this agony. The Bible says his tears were like drops of blood.
Oh,
in the Garden of Gethsemane. But then he said to the Father, nevertheless, not my will, but your will. He signed a contract right there. The transaction took place right there in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Because now he operated in the Father's will, and he went all the way to Calvary. Was whipped, kicked, spit on, slapped, all kind of stuff. Called all kind of names. But see, when the transaction is complete, No one can break it and stop it. It's already signed.
It's already signed. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So this is a powerful word. It's a powerful word. And I wish more people was on to hear it. But thank God that we have the opportunity to send the hundreds into their homes when we get off of here. What a blessed word, Minister Andre. Lord, will bless you for that. And, you know, this is one of the days that I really love. I love doing ministry because it's the Sabbath day. And God commanded us to honor the Sabbath day, keep making it holy because it's holy unto him. This is where the church is shutting down because they have rejected God's Sabbath day. And they started serving on the Sunday. On Sunday, so Sunday is really for the Catholics. They started that Sunday service many years ago, worshiping the sun god. They worshiping Jesus. And then the church, the Protestant take it up and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
Start worshiping. But Saturday is really, they start at Friday sundown until Saturday sundown. The Sabbath day is what God said, keep it holy because it's holy unto him. And that's the day, you know, that. So now, you know, Evangelist Campbell, for some reason, I don't know what's going on with her, but she stopped sending messages to come on, you know. And so I will be coming in on Saturdays and bringing the word. Bringing the word, or Apostle Washington, or Apostle Millie, once we are swapping it in and out. But this is a powerful day. I love cider service. I really do. I really love cider worship. You know, I really love cider worship, you know, because it's the Sabbath day. And it means a very lot to me, Minister Andres. I don't take this lightly. Saturday is very, very important. I mean, we do service 7 days a week, but Saturday is the key day for me because I honor the Sabbath day. I don't even know. No, I don't even go on Saturdays to do work. You know, I don't even go on Saturday unless it's really an emergency and I have to ask God to allow me to go. I stay in the house. I go and work on Sunday, but I don't go on Saturday because the Lord has convicted my heart with that, you know. I got to honor the Sabbath day because he said so. You know, if we are doing something contrary to that, now we are disobedient to God. And disobedience is like the spirit of witchcraft. It's in the book of Samuel. It's like the spirit of witchcraft when you disobey the order of God. You know, it's like a witch or warlock. You know, you're doing your own thing. But I thank God for that. I thank God for the word. Deacon, you want to come in and say something? And then you can pray and pray us out.
Amen.
Brother Deacon?
Amen. Amen. Yeah, amen, Papa. Amen. Praise the
amen.
Lord, Father. Amen. Praise the Lord,
Father. Praise the Lord.
Deacon Christian. Amen. Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Bless you, too. Bless you, too, a woman of God. Thank God. Thank God on the word, what I heard on today. I thank God what I heard on today. You know, usually I don't get a chance to say too much on Saturday. But I thank God I'm able to come to be here today. I'm always able to come hear the word of God. So, you know, it's always important. This is the word of God, because ain't nothing that's going to change or stop listening to the word of God. And long as I'm happy, I thank God for one thing, coming and listening to the word of God. When you talk about the word of God, we could be doing something. We could be doing something. We ain't got to know what we're doing. But I thank God. I thank the Lord I chose to hear the word of God.
Amen.
I thank God to listen. You know, I didn't call nobody to come here and say something, hear me talk. No, I ain't come here for that. I come here to the word of God. I didn't come here just for that. I don't come, like I said, I don't come for you not to like me, for to come to this life. Only God loves me. Only God, I look up to Jesus. Only God loves what I do. God loves me. Only God, I look up to Jesus. I don't come here just for that. I come live in the name of Jesus. Hello, come on here, somebody. Come on here. I don't come here just for that. I come here to hear the word of God. That's what I come here for. I didn't come here. Yeah, I remember when I first came on Block Talk. I remember that. But only God has to remind me. God got on me about God. Only God done that. Only God that would straighten that out. The only God will fix it. See, I can't fix it on my own. God, only God done that.
Amen.
I didn't do it. God done that. See, some of us right now want to go do whatever they want to do. Some of them want to do. See, I can't believe it. You know, it's 20 years. 20 years of 9/11. 20 years. Anniversary, 20 years of 9/11. My God, 20 years. We were talking about the other day. 20 years. So many lives are gone. 20 years. But you know, I heard the other day, you know, I was here, you were saying, I heard the other day, we ain't talking about the world ain't seen nothing yet. We ain't seen nothing yet. We ain't seen nothing yet, Minister St. Vera. We ain't seen nothing yet. That's right.
That's right.
We ain't seen nothing yet, but we will see. We ain't seen nothing yet. We ain't seen anything yet. So we think it, you know, it's a joke, but it's not a play thing.
Mm-hmm.
We think we can do what we want to do. That's what we think. The world, that's why when I was sitting there just listening, when you were talking about rehab, and I hear you were talking about giving. You were reading the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse, you started at 37 and 38. I missed half of the scripture. I missed half of it. I missed all of it. But I wrote three of them down, but I missed the rest of the scripture down. So at that time, I was busy at that time. But nevertheless, I still say I came to hear the word of God. I thank God what the word of God has exposed to you, exposed in your life, that you are his vessel. And one thing about it, those could have been here, should have heard the word of God. Should have heard what was said on today, the word of God. But one thing I always say all the time, I always tell you, always be encouraged. Be in the word, be in the word of God, and always it's what the word of God was in you. And whoever don't like you, whoever got something against you, who feel that's what they can do, but ain't nothing they can do to stop you from praising God like the way you do. See, when I pray the same way, that same way that someone say that about me, as long as I pray God, you don't have to like me, and you ain't got to like how I came on the Block Talk. Because, well, number one, let me tell you, so number one, God, I'm on Block Talk. God brought me on here. Nobody blame
Amen.
On him but God did. Yes, I had a studying problem. Oh yes, I did. Yes, probably Moses had a studying problem. Huh? Tell also about it. Moses had a big studying problem. But Jesus was patient. He was a patient God. He was patient. Yes, he was.
Yeah.
And somebody don't want to be so patient. You got some folks now today, minister, don't want to be patient today. And, you know, that's sad.
Yes, we have to be patient. Amen. Thank you.
That's that. You can't be patient. You can't be patient with nobody these days now. But some people take advantage of a person being patient.
Mm.
That's the truth.
That's true.
Some people take advantage of it. But as long as we keep praising God what we do, the more we going to praise him. I'm going to praise him, whether you like me or not. Whether you talk about me, whether you laugh behind my back, whether you grin behind my back, backstab me in the back, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to praise him, whether you like me or not. I'm going to praise him. I ain't going to let the rocks cry out. Now, you feel you want to sit there, look cute, don't want to praise, that's you. You might let the rock cry out yourself, but me, when it comes down to me, I'm going to praise God. I don't want to have to cry out. Be the one thing about it. It's one thing. It's one thing I can always say. I can say this about you. You's a woman of God, and I really truly respect you as a woman of God. No one don't respect you. Someone got a problem with that, but that's on me. They got to get in account of that. They gonna get in account of it. Well, that's right. They gonna get in account of that. But the one thing about it is you know, it's one thing I can say.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I can always say. When I don't come say much, say a whole lot, don't say too much. Even though I be busy most of the time. But the one thing about it, I still be here listening at the word of God.
Amen.
But sometimes we gotta be obedient. Because obedience means sacrifice. And some of us don't even want to be obedient. Some of us don't. This is the way we are. We don't want to be obedient. Some of us don't care about being obedient. But I tell you what, if God was on this church last, I bet you would be obedient last. You'd be obedient. I bet you. What if he was on the church line? That's the question. What if he was on the church line? What we were responding about the word? What if he was on the church line? See, sometimes that let us know. See, it's just like slapping God in the face. And sometimes we don't need to slap him in the face, slap God in the face. And to me, to be honest, that's disrespectful, God. That's being disrespectful. To me, that's being disrespectful. Someone don't know that we're being disrespectful. We do everything else. But we don't look at how we do everything else. They're really not of God.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing about it, I know for my own self. I'm not trying to come down on nobody. I ain't trying to say nothing about nobody because I don't come here to try to put my mouth on nobody because I don't when I come on this block talk, I don't come here to assert nobody. I don't come here like some folks do. I don't do that because that's not me, and I ain't like everybody. And it's one thing about it. If you come and assault somebody, that's one thing we don't do. We don't come and assault. You don't assault your brother and sister. You don't do that.
That's right.
You don't assault nobody. No, we ain't going to have that on the church line. We're not going to have it. We're not going to have it him. And I said it on the line the same way. You ain't coming to assault me. No, you ain't coming on line to assault me. Bring a chaos on that line. No, we're not going to tolerate it. I'm not going to put up with it. And I let them know. And sometimes you have to put your foot down. And sometimes you got to ball your fist up and put your foot down. That's what you have to do. That's right. That's where it all should go. But we can't let things continue on to go on where it is. We can't continue. But I always said, God get tired. He get tired. Even when you was preaching the word of God, teaching let the word continue to use you and speak through you. He'll cover you.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God for you. What the love you have the Lord of what's in you. And let God continue to do more things in your life. Because the man of God said, I wish more would have came. But one thing about it, we can't worry about the crowd. I learned ever since. I'm not worried about the crowd. Because the Bible said, the book of Matthew said, when two or three are gathered, God is in the midst. We got to go on with two or three. God is in the midst. That's what Matthew said. God is in the midst. God is in the midst.
Yeah,
we pray the Lord right. God is on these church lines. You can pray the Lord right here. When you just let, you just keep on letting God continue to use you and continue to let God continue to speak through you. And let continue to do more things in your life. Because he gonna do more work in your life. And no matter what goes on, we gotta keep on teaching the word of God. And we gotta keep on let Jesus lead you all the way. No matter what who have a problem, who got something against you, they gonna get an account of that. They gonna get an account of what they do to you. They're going to get an account of that. They're going to get an account of it. But the one thing about it, as long as I come to this church line, as long as I come to Blocko, I'm going to continue to come and listen at the word of God. And one thing about it, I don't worry about who don't want to hear it. What I have to say, a lot of things I don't like to be honest, I don't like about what they say, because a lot of them don't like to hear what they have to say. And the one thing about what I like to hear about the word of God. That's what I like to hear.
That's right.
That's what I like to hear, about the word of God. But the one thing about it, I'd rather come listen to the word of God. I'd rather be listening to the word of God than be doing something I ain't got no business what I'm doing. Something when I ain't got no business. I could be doing something. But I really chose to praise the Lord. Every Sabbath day. We come, yeah, you Sabbath on Saturday, yes. But see, some of us take Sabbath day, some of us take advantage of Sabbath day. And some of us do that. They take advantage of it. Someone does take advantage of that. And that's what they do. Someone does take advantage of it. But the one thing about it, if one thing I can say, and when you were being obedient, that's how when you was being obedient, when you were asked to go. They're like, well, somebody asked me to go do something. I go do it. He asked me to bring the word, I bring the word. But if he asked me to pray, I pray. And if he asked me to go and close out, I come and close out. And that's what they asked me to do. Some of us don't want to come. They don't even come want to bring the word. But all we do, we'll make excuses. But I always say, God is not an excuse. He don't make excuses. God don't make excuses. He really don't make no excuses. That's why a lot of times, sometimes we make a ramp out of bush when we don't come bring the word. And that's true. They don't come bring the word. And I say to you, woman of God, you just as you are in the word. That woman God that you are, you let God continue to use you and what God was in you. And regardless who don't like you and regardless who have something against you, they gotta get an account of that. You just be what the God made you, the love you have for the word of God. You just continue to do the work of God, continue to God bless you. It may keep you. God bless you and your family and your brothers and sisters and mom, keep mom in prayer and father in prayer. They sit up and you touch over your home and your marriage and make God continue to keep your marriage. And regardless, whoever tried, don't let nobody come get between you and your marriage, because that's what they'll do. They'll try to come against you in your marriage. You just stay the woman God that you are. So don't let nobody try to break your marriage up, because that's what they'll do. Don't let them do it. But I advise you, woman God, you go stay, always stay in the word of God. Always believe. Always don't let nobody, because, you know, you got some jealousy out there, jealous folks in the world. Because, yeah, you're going to have jealousy out there. You're going to have haters out there who ain't going to like you. You're going to have backstabbers, they ain't going to like you. I said a million times about backstabbers. They're going to backstab you in the back. Yeah, a lot of them try to back. They still doing it. They doing it 2021. They still doing it. So they've been doing it for years. Well, you just stay the Lord. You just be what God made you. You need to be. Be the woman God that you are, because you're a Proverbs chapter 31 woman. You just be what God made you, who you are. So I thank God for you, woman God, my dear good friend. May God continue to keep you and bless you in the name of Jesus. Always be encouraged. Stay in the word. Be in the ministry. Stay in the word. Go out there and minister. Because woman God, that you will have a church one day. And God going to continue to do some great things in your life, woman God. So God continue to bless you, you all. May he keep you, and may bless each one of you. Keep me in my prayer. Keep my mom looked up in prayer, my sister in prayer, my brother-in-law in prayer. I just want to keep the whole world lifted up, the United States of America, in prayer. Keep us the president of the United States in prayer. I don't want to keep up everyone that come on the Block Talk Radio on the trust line. They come here every 7 days a week. I thank God when I come here, the word of God, that I would get more understanding of his word. And may God continue the blessing on the word. May keep him blessing on the word that what I heard on today. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Always be encouraged. Stay in the word. Stay in your ministry. And always let the love the shining all over you. Being peace. He'll keep you in perfect peace. The book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verse.
Amen.
The third verse said in the book of Isaiah. So may the Lord continue to bless you and may he keep you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. One of these days, I'm gonna get it right one day. I'm gonna get it better. I'm gonna get it right one day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. God bless you. May he keep you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Amen.
Amen. Deacon
Frazier.
Thank you so much, brother Deacon.
God bless you.
Okay, Minister Andre, go ahead and pray us out. Go ahead and pray us out.
Amen. Deacon Frazier, thank you for your comment. God bless you, and I love you as well. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you, dear Lord. We thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Father God, we thank you for everyone that is on this line today. We thank you for their families. Dear Lord, we thank you for those who are not on the line today and their families, dear Lord. We ask that you continue to keep us. We ask that you continue to bless us. Father God, cover us from the crowns of our heads to the sole of our feet. Father God, wherever we are restricted, Father God, open the doors, dear Lord, that we may have movements in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, for those that are normally on the line, Father God, Evangelist Campbell, Father God, we know that she's doing well in the mighty name of Jesus, but we ask you, dear Lord, to continue to be with her and be with her family. Father God, we know that she was having difficulties on her job as she spoke about
Father, dear Lord, we ask that you take control of every situation that concerns her heart, that concerns her family, dear Lord. Father God, and we ask you to steady her mind,
yes,
Father
Lord.
God, and continue to love on her in the mighty name of Jesus. Dear Lord, we sometimes go through battles,
Lord,
dear
Jesus.
Lord, and sometimes we just have to go into a silent place, Father God, with you in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask that you are there with her and there with everyone that is on this line, dear Lord, that is going through right now, Father God. We are not without problems, not without problems, dear Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. But we know as long as we give you our problems and our burdens, dear Lord, that you will continue to protect us, you will continue to uplift us, and you will carry us in the mighty name of Jesus. Allow your light and your love, Father God, to be evident in our lives, dear Lord. Continue to show us the way that we may go, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, even when there's darkness, Father God, as long as we hold on to you, dear Lord, you will become the light. You are the light of this world, Father God. You are the light of our lives. Father God, we ask you for healing for everyone that is going through some sort of sickness, pain. Father God, whether it's depression, anxiety, bodily, mentally, emotionally, Father God, even spiritually, dear Lord, whatever pain they are suffering at this time, dear Lord, we ask you, dear Lord, to give them the relief, Father God, give them healing. Father God, remove that burden, remove that restriction that is upon their heart. And in their spirits, and Father God, that is upon their bodies, dear Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Give the solution and bring the solution that is necessary, Father God. Hear our cries, dear Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Our silent cry and our vocal cry, Father God. Even our tears, dear Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. We know that you have heard it all. Father God, we're asking you for relief, and we're asking you for strength and provision, Father God, and how to go forth. We trust you, we honor you, and we glorify your name. Father God, and as we take this day, allow us to continue to rest in your peace, rest in your arm, rest in your bosom, Father God. You are so loving, Father God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus, and allow us to love on you, Father God, as you love on us. Father God, you
yes,
are
Lord.
Father. You are our daddy, and you have never been far away from us. So we thank you, dear Lord, for constant protection, constant love, and your touch. We thank you for your movement. And we thank you.
Yes, Lord.
For whatever division that occurs that needs to occur.
Jesus.
Father God, you are the only one that can divide, Father God, good from evil. So, Father God, do only what you can do and do what only you are able and will do. We trust you, we honor you, and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, we ask your blessing in the city. Bless us in the field. Bless us when we come and bless us when we go. Father, we ask that you continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath, that you will make us the lenders and not the borrowers, O God. Father, we pray that the blessings that are on the way, God, would overtake us, O God, not so that we can be braggadocious, Lord God, but that so that we will be a blessing to those that are less fortunate than us, O God. God, that we'll be able to bless the widows, the fatherless, the motherless, the homeless, and the orphans, O God. Father, we ask now, Lord, that as we leave this land, but not your presence, O God, that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you speak today that would make all the difference to someone like him, and stop someone from committing suicide, stop someone from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That just means that the characteristics of Jesus Christ must be seen in our lives. Jesus said this in Matthew, because he know that we all still have some bad works in us that is trying to resurface. But if we let our good works be seen, everything about Jesus seen in our work, in our life, because your lifestyle is your ministry, the bad works that we supposed to overcome will not be able to resurface because we are trying to identify with Jesus. We want to be identified with him, that we are his ambassadors, we are his servants, we are his mouthpiece. In the mighty name of Jesus, I feel the Holy Ghost right there. Yes, right, that we would just glorify him. I thank God for you again, Minister On There. Give you my love to your husband and to your daughter and to your mother. Tell her that we keep in her in prayer, and we always keep her in prayer because she's your mom, and we love her with the love of Christ. We know that God is healing her completely, and that she's coming out better. You know, that her body going to get stronger every day. Every day her body's going to get stronger. Every day.
Yeah.
You know, we thank God for Apostle Washington, how God brought her son home. He's you know, he's in rehab now, but we thank God that he's recovering. You know, glory to God, he's recovering completely. What the devil thought he could take for bad, God turned around for his good, for his glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, they had gone ahead and pulled the plug with the doctors want that boy would be in the grave. But they say not so. God said not so. And the same heart that they said wasn't working, the same brain they said wasn't working, now is alive. He's walking around talking, going to the bathroom himself, all that stuff. You know, but God is good. God is good. God is good. We thank God for that. We will talk to you later. Brother Deacon, I will come on the line later tonight. We had a great time on last night. The Lord gave me a word last night. I tell you,
yes.
We're going to have another good time tonight, Brother Deacon. Another good time tonight in the Lord. So you all have a blessed evening and be safe. If you got to go, don't forget, wear your mask. Wear your mask or the virus is in the atmosphere. And they're trying to control the population. If you're breathing in, you got to fight to live.
Right.
I know God said, don't be stupid. Use wisdom. Use wisdom.
Right.
Don't people say, well, I'm saved. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't got to wear no mask. No, God said, use wisdom. You remember when the death angel came through Egypt? When God told the people, go in the house, stay in the house, put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. And when the angels see the blood, he'll pass over. You got to use common sense. God said, now wear your mask. Then the virus will be able to get into your lungs to contaminate your lungs. Use your mask. Because these wicked people trying to control population. These audible controlling the population people. This is no joke. So, you know, when I go there, put my mask on. I got masks stays in my car. I got masks in the house. But I don't have to wear in the house. So I got masks in the car. So if I forget, you know, because sometimes you forget to put the mask in your pocket. You forget to put it in your purse. Leave some in your car.
That's right.
My wife keeps some in the car. She got 6 or 7 in her small pack in her glove compartment. Because if she go and she don't remember to put one in the purse, I got some in the glove compartment. I see it. You got to use common sense. I'm telling you, because this stuff, you can't see it. The virus is invisible. It's like air. You can't see air, but you breathe it, though, right? The virus is in the atmosphere. So when you breathe, you breathe it in. That's how you get it. So I love you guys so much. Use wisdom. That's all I want to tell you. And pay attention to the word that was preached today.
Yes.
We got to give to receive.
Yes.
Give of your time. Give of your money. Give of the love, compassion, and mercy, your forgiveness. If you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. That's what Jesus says. So give these things. This is it's all in the word. Help somebody so you'll get help. I love you guys so much. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
I love you too. Have a blessed day.
All right. Bye-bye.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen.